There is a card that looks like this. Let's connect, or we call this our connection card, in the pew pocket in front of you. If you're visiting for the first time, would you take that and fill it out with the information it calls for? We'd just like to have a record of your visit with us. In fact, all of us, you can fill that out. If you have a prayer request or something that we could pray for you this coming week, there is a place for that on the back, and also a place for signups of various things that you might want to be interested in terms of serving at Christ Church. So we are glad that you are here today. I want to outline a couple of announcements before we begin this morning. Number one, we need a toddler Sunday school assistant, someone to help Beverly Thompson. She's been dedicated to this age group for a long time, and the Lord is blessing us with more children, and so we need a helper. And if you would be interested in that, you can fill it out again on the connection card or just let Lisa Johnson know, and her email address is right there for you. We also need child care volunteers for our English, teaching English as a second language ministry. That began last Thursday night, and it continues now and every Thursday night. So if you would like to be involved in that, particularly for volunteers for the younger group, the nursery, and also the elementary age group. Our youth group now is transitioned from Sunday night to Thursday night so that we can be available in case any students come for the English as a second language ministry. So if you'd like to be involved in the child care for ESL, you can contact Brian Waugh or Tara Pilecki, and both of their contact information is there for you in the bulletin. The College and Career Bible Study, we're going to meet not tonight, but next Sunday night, October the 2nd, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., and you can RSVP if you can make that, and we'll know how much food to prepare. I was going to present our newest member this morning, Demetria Dort, but her brother passed away yesterday, in fact, last night, and Demi's been very tired as the primary caregiver for her brother Michael, and so be in prayer for her. And we're going to postpone that, and we'll present her at a later date, a Sunday in October. So with that said, let's turn off our mobile devices or put them in the mute or vibrate mode. And let's stand together as we do responsively our call to worship this morning from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I'll read the light print. You can respond with the dark print. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 57, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, O My Soul. Let's remain standing as we sing.
Oh, no.
Heavenly Father, indeed, we give you praise, glory, and honor for the opportunity to come before you today in public worship. We ask that you would bless our feeble efforts to exalt you, to glorify you, to magnify your holy name in our lives and in our church. Father, be with us. We humbly invoke your blessing upon this service. May Christ be exalted and lifted up. May your Holy Spirit energize our efforts to praise you as we ought. And may we give you, the triune God, all the praise, glory, and honor for what you will do in our lives and in our church during this hour. We make our prayer humbly in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word of the Lord. Please join me now in a time of repentance and confession of our sins. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, you remove and forgive our sins for good. And yet, you tell us to come regularly, subsequent to our conversion, and to confess our sins before you. So, Lord, I pray now that you would hear our quiet and silent confession of sin. Father, having confessed our sins individually, hear us now as we corporately confess together. Gracious Father, I am not worthy of blessings and mercies. My depraved nature reveals itself in disobedience and rebellion. I am often discontented, prideful, envious, and revengeful. As I have confessed my guilt, help me to feel it deeply, to hate my sin, yet to remember there is hope in you. Help me to see that the Lamb that takes away sin, through him may I return to you, listen to you, trust in you, delight in your law, obey you, and be upheld by you for your glory and the good of my fellow men. Amen. Hear the assurance of pardon this morning. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Peter says, "He himself, that is Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." That is good news. Our second reading this morning comes from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. The writer says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have come or failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as it did to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this verse, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Father in heaven, we bow our heads before you, the Father of the fatherless and the lover of widows and orphans and those who are suffering, asking you in the name of Jesus Christ to hear this prayer, giving ears to the words of my mouth. We desire, Lord, for you to do with us as you will. For our ways got us nowhere. It was only by your merciful intervention that we are here today worshiping you. If we were left dead in our sins, we would have no hope and be lovers of self and evil. But even with these new hearts, Lord, we are often immature, not thinking in accordance with your Holy Spirit. Our minds are so often set on the things that are transient. So, Father, I pray for this church, for all of us here, that you would stir us up in the greatness that is the love of Christ. Stir up passion for your gospel in our midst that leads to minds that are set on the hope of eternal life in Christ. May we be heaven-bound believers, always preparing to be always with the Lord, looking forward to be clothed in his righteousness. In mercy, Jesus, bring us to that dear land of rest. But now, Lord, knowing that you have ordained for us to still be on this side of eternity, we have many needs. But we know that you are good and gracious and kind, and so we ask you to hear our requests. We pray, Lord, for people around the world, for Ukraine. We pray for the end of the war and peace in the region. And we pray for Puerto Rico and the victims of the hurricane, that you would grant them relief and give them great help. We also pray for this hurricane that may be headed here. We ask that you would preserve us and keep us safe from harm, free us from anxiety and panic, placing our trust in you, our fortress and our strength. We also pray, Lord, for those in missions, the Vanderplugs, the Davilas, the Haas, Aldo Mondin, S.I.E. Etienne, and Brother Jimbo, that through their ministries, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Bless them, Lord, in their work. We also pray for Demi and her family for the loss of her brother Michael. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and place their trust in you. We also pray, Lord, for many of us are sick and in pain. We think of Darby, who is currently in the hospital. Pray for Marilyn Quick and John Wall, still recovering, and Ken Jackson and Judy Smith and Becky Yu and Lenore Ball. Help them, Lord. Help them and heal them. Remind them that where you are, pain is no more. Many of us, Lord, are also struggle with anxiety or depression or things like this. Remind us that where you are, there is nothing but joy. Many of us are weak in faith, but where you are, we will see you with our eyes. Remind us of this, Lord. We also pray for our members, especially Brian and Jackie, and Deborah Vincent, and the Waugh family, for Brian, Donna, Christopher, Casey, Amanda, John, and Cheryl. Bless these members with the fruit of the Spirit, with growth in grace, and an understanding of the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. There are many other things, Lord, that we could ask, but you know them all. May the God of Israel do what we asked of him, become pleading the blood of Christ, our great high priest, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 16, and this, incidentally, will be the sermon text as well. The psalmist says, Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of the Lord. Let's stand together now for our offertory hymn, Speak, O Lord, and the words are printed for you inside of your bulletin. Father in heaven, open our eyes spiritually, the eyes of our heart, that we may see the treasure that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, Lord, may we give back to you just a portion of all that you've given to us through our tithes and offerings. Lord, bless each gift and giver, and we'll give you the praise for all that you will do with the monies that we offer for your kingdom's sake. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let's stand for the doxology.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our text this morning is from Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. So if you can turn there or flip in your bulletin, let me open us with a word of prayer. Blessed be the Lord, the great God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed you are, O God most pure, pure and holy light, the pure source of everything right. Purify us, O fountain of life, wellspring of wisdom, word of God from the beginning. Guard us by your word, the fortress of truth, the two-edged sword, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Resting in God, is hard when the world is constantly offering you its form of rest. We're so constantly distracted by inferior forms of rest, aren't we? And we're so distracted by them that it's difficult at times to seek real rest. Sometimes seeking real rest in God, that is, can feel like work because we've been so persuaded that vacation or social media or TV or things like this is real rest, but they're not. They are inferior forms of rest. This doesn't mean that vacations or things like this are bad. They're blessings from the Lord. But we so often disconnect the gifts from the giver, forgetting that God is the overflowing fountain of joy and gladness and pleasure. And so rest apart from Him is really no rest at all, but slavery. How many times have you taken a break and got really no rest from it at all? This happens when we seek real rest and joy in the creation itself, rather than in the blessed Creator, who is the giver of all good gifts. We often take the good things God has made and seek from them what can only be found in God Himself. And then we wonder why our souls are restless. Our thesis or big idea this morning comes straight from the mouth of St. Augustine. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And our outline looks like this. In order to rest in God, we must trust that God is our refuge, God is our counsel, and God is our pleasure. In order to rest in God, we must trust that God is our refuge, our counsel, and our pleasure. So let's deal with the first point this morning, God as our refuge. The psalmist, who is clearly identified as King David, opens this prayer with a request for preservation. He says, "Keep me safe, O Lord. Keep me safe." And he professes the Lord to be his shelter, his refuge. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." Verse 1. This is contrasted with those who chase or run after other gods. Look at verse 4. "The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply." You see, David is finding his shelter in the Lord. He's not choosing to do what others do, which is to seek shelter, to seek refuge, to seek rest in another god. Whether that is a literal idol or something that you make a god in your life, work, a spouse, alcohol, food, money, power, regardless of what it is, David is saying, "I refuse to take shelter in anything other than you, Lord, so please preserve me." In verses 8 through 10, we see this idea again. It says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." Then he says, "Therefore my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, my flesh also dwells secure." So his flesh is secure because the Lord is his shelter. "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." We see here that surely he will preserve us. David asks the Lord to preserve him, and then in confidence he's proclaiming that he knows that the Lord will indeed preserve him. David trusts the Lord to be his shelter and his refuge. Do we? You will either seek refuge in the true God or a false one. There's no alternative. There's no middle ground here. It is an impossibility to say, "Well, I don't really trust in anything." You see, we all trust in something. It's either the true God or a false God. Now, when a child is scared or sick, what do they do? What do they want to do? They want to snuggle. They want to get the snuggles. They want to snuggle with their parents, in their parents' arms, sheltered from the pain, sheltered from the storm, sheltered from the bad dream, or whatever it may be. How much more, you see, does God, our Creator and Sustainer of all things, shelter us? He is surely a loving Father. If you are plagued with stress, anxiety, ask yourself, "Have I placed my trust in myself? Have I placed my trust in a false god, my income, my family? Or is my trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth?" Do you proclaim with the psalmist in Psalm 124, Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do I really believe that God is my refuge and strength? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. Do I really believe since He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken? We must trust in God in the face of our fears and anxieties. We may fear the loss of our jobs or the loss of a loved one. Or we may fear for our children growing up in this corrupt, wicked generation. No matter how valid your concern is, those types of fears and anxieties are sinful excuses to not trust in God who is our refuge, who has proven to us over and over and over and over again in Scripture and in your own life that He truly can be trusted and is faithful to be your shelter and refuge. Also, notice verse 10 again. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. David is again placing his confidence in the God who is our refuge. But what does Peter in Acts 2 point out? This text, Peter says, isn't ultimately about David. For David did go to the grave. Peter says in Acts 2, his tomb is still with us to this day. This text, Peter says, is ultimately about the Lord Jesus. And because you have been united to your Savior in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection, in His ascension, you can have even more confidence that God is your refuge. Because Jesus rose again from the dead, you were united in Him, united to Him. Jesus was not abandoned to Hades. Jesus did not see corruption. And so we have a Savior, mighty to save, who was raised from the dead. And so true rest is found in trusting God as our refuge in Jesus the Messiah, our true rest. See, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And in order to rest in God, we must trust that God is our refuge. But also, we must trust that God is our counsel. Another way that David rests in God is trusting Him as the great counselor. We see this implicitly in verse 4, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Part of the reason people go after other gods is because they are seeking out teachers to suit their own passions, as the Apostle Paul says. This is why people don't want the Word. Many don't want to be in a church where the Word is preached and taught. Instead, they want teachers and counselors that affirm their fleshly desires. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to trust in God. They prefer to trust in themselves, foolishly. Well, David rightly knows that trusting in God as our counselor is where true rest is found and where our deepest desires are fulfilled. As he says in verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. This is an interesting phrase, don't you think? That in the night also my heart instructs me. How so? Well, if God is the fountain, God is the fountain of all wisdom, and so what He works in us reproduces and abounds all to His glory. And so all the wisdom and counsel that God has given to David abounds and overflows in his heart. We have a heart-changing God, a God that changes hearts. And since He's the fountain of wisdom, David's heart overflows and instructs him in the night. David goes on to say in verse 11, that you make known to me the path of life. You make known to me the path of life because God is our great counselor. The phrase path of life is also used in the Proverbs in reference to the path of wisdom that leads to the good life. You can think of the one who follows the path of life as the blessed man, perhaps, in Psalm chapter 1, the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, and who is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. This is the path of life. This is what it looks like to walk down that path. And notice, that you, Christian, didn't find the path of life on your own. God made it known to us. God revealed it to you. You make known to me the path of life, David says. As Jesus said earlier in our first reading in Matthew 11, no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son reveals the Father to. All that you have has been given to you by God, you see. Any wisdom, any teaching, any intelligence, any ethical discernment, all is a gift of God, for He is the one who makes known to us the path of life. When I was in my late teen years in college, my mother's best friend told me something I'll never forget. I'll never forget. This was at a time when I wasn't seeking Jesus as my counsel, to say the least. And you probably have heard this before. You probably heard the saying before, but this was the first time I've heard it. She told me, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you want to know what it looks like to not seek Jesus as our great counselor, then just look at the world around you. It's a world where everyone is falling for anything. We must stand on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. So many people look to substances, to worldly wisdom, or 12 steps to a better this or that. But in Jesus, you see, as it says in Colossians, in Jesus is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We may look to counseling for help, or psychiatry even, or a neurologist, or something like this, but those helps, separated from God, will be useless and ultimately unsatisfying. See, Jesus is whom we follow. He is the one we need to sit before, at His feet, enrolled in the school of Christ, taking counsel from our great and precious Savior. For remember, one of the titles of the Messiah in Isaiah 9, remember, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. This is your Messiah, the greatest teacher the world has known and will ever know. And so sit at His feet, enroll in His school, for true rest is found in trusting God as our great, wonderful counselor. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And in order to truly rest in God, we must trust that God is our refuge and that He is our counsel. But also, we must trust that God is our pleasure. This is probably something you neglect to think about. When someone thinks about what it means to be a Christian these days, many times what first comes to mind is depriving oneself of pleasure. And surely a Christian is to deprive himself or herself of sinful pleasures. But why? Why? Because we know that sinful pleasure is a lie. It's not really pleasurable at all. They're not really, it's not true pleasure, you see. But the Christian is not to deprive himself of true pleasure, but false pleasure. True pleasure is only found in God, who is the giver of all good gifts. As David said in verse 2, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. I have no good apart from you. All good things flow from the hand of God, who is an overflowing fountain of goodness. We also see that rest is found when we trust God as our pleasure in verse 4 again, implicitly. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Those who chase after false gods never find what they're looking for, do they? They never find real rest. Remember Jesus in Matthew 6, 32. He says, the Gentiles chase after food and clothing and drink. I like how the NIV puts it, the Gentiles run after these things. But you see, they run after these things but are never able to obtain real comfort or real rest, because the source of comfort and rest is ultimately not in food or clothing or drink, but in the giver of those good gifts, God Himself, the source of all true pleasure, the source of all true joy. This is why Jesus says right after that in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and then the food, drink, and clothing will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. For if you make these pleasures that God has given you, food, drink, or the like, and you make them your God, they will slip through your hands. Brothers and sisters, as it says in verse 5, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. This needs to be the attitudes of our hearts. You hold my lot. Verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. You see, all goods, all real pleasure, all joy is found in Him and comes from Him, the fountain of all goodness, beauty, and truth. He says in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. And he concludes in verse 11 with the most clear declaration of God as our pleasure and the source of all joy and goodness. He says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Fullness here means full satisfaction. Real satiety, real pleasure, you see, is overflowing from the hand of God, from our great God. And it is because of this that David delights in the saints. Notice verse 3. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Do you take delight in the fellowship of believers? Those who find their pleasure in Christ will find pleasure in His body. That's the logic here. Those who find pleasure in Christ will find pleasure in the body of Christ, the people of God. Now we are to delight in God's people because God delights in His saints. He's pleased with what He has worked in you, you see. Why are the saints our delight? Because God is our delight, and He is our pleasure, and the saints are in Him. So many Christians trash the church, don't they? You hear this a lot. And they don't realize that by trashing her, they're trashing her Lord. It's a grievous sin to hate the church. Now, pleasurable things always will let you down, won't they? When you seek true rest in them. If you are restless because you lack joy, lack pleasure, lack satisfaction, and are tired, etc., and you seek a remedy in pleasurable things, not God, dinner with friends, television, movies, wine, intimacy with your spouse, vacation, whatever the good thing may be, if you seek a remedy in the good things that God has given us, then you will be let down. And eventually those very things that you found pleasurable will devour you and destroy you. It won't work out very well. Every relationship I had before Catalina failed miserably. She's saying amen. Failed miserably because I sought true rest in those relationships. And the minute I sought true rest in God, He gave me the relationship I was always looking for. Yeah, good. Yeah. Psalm 37, 4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. My previous head pastor, Bob Brubaker, deeply desired to play professional football. It was a long time ago. He deeply desired it. He got recruited to good colleges to play football. But then he got injured, and the Lord called him into ministry. And he obeyed, and he went. But he still had this desire to be a professional athlete. Decades later, he realized, I'm a sponsored athlete by SPAM for Ironman triathlons. I'm a professional athlete. God gave him the desires of his heart. He was a professional triathlete, you see. Decades later, it occurred to him, that desire I had, I delighted in the Lord, and He gave me the desires of my heart. The Christian life is a life that is destined for joy and gladness. Know that. Because your God is love, your God is goodness, your God is joy, in His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And a major part of finding pleasure in God on this side of eternity is true worship. In this life, on this wilderness journey, God blesses you with a Sabbath, with a time to be refreshed and consumed with His glory, a time of casting off the cares of the world. Don't neglect it, my friends, and don't underestimate its importance. Can you say with David that you delight in the saints? You see, if you believe at His right hand are pleasures forevermore, your desire for worship would greatly increase. Bill Gates, in a Times Magazine article, said this: in terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. And if we're being honest, sometimes we think about it in a very similar way. Our culture has been preaching to us for years that earthly pleasure, the fulfillment of your disordered desires, is the highest aim in life. This is part of the reason so many Christians don't see the importance of corporate worship. And then they wonder why they feel lonely, and they wonder why they're constantly battling with depression, which always happens to be winning. But the truth is, your soul needs to worship God for its well-being and pleasure and enjoyment. You see, you can't have true joy without glorifying God. It's simply how you have been made. God made you this way. The God who is love created all things out of nothing and is pouring out His love upon the creation. And we wonder why we're struggling when our hearts are far from Him. We wonder why our hearts are restless when they're not resting in Him. No, the only way to have real lasting pleasure is to be close to the God who is love, the God that gave you breath. If God is the fullness of all pleasure and goodness, if you have all the earthly pleasures and goods but have not God, you have nothing. Many Christians think Christian ethics is all about don't taste, don't touch, don't do this. When in reality, Christian ethics is all about finding our ultimate joy in Christ. You were made for a life of abundance, but that abundance is in God. And if you disconnect it from the giver, if you disconnect the gifts from the giver, then the gifts will fall through your hands. If you disconnect the gifts from the giver, you will lose both. All of God's good gifts are given, yes, so that you may be satisfied and blessed and for your enjoyment, but they all are ultimately to teach you that He is the highest good. I love what Dr. Scott Swain says. He made bread primarily to teach you that He is the bread of life, and you utterly rely on Him, on His words for survival. You would starve without them. He made water so that you may know He is the water of life. He made sheep to teach you that He is the good shepherd. My heart is restless until it rests in You, the giver of all good gifts. You see, all enjoyment and pleasure and goodness in life flows from the fountain of all goodness, pleasure, and joy, God Himself. Anything we have ever enjoyed, anything we've ever found pleasure in, as long as it was a good thing, is a gift from God. The second you disconnect it from the giver, it becomes bitter and loses its sweetness. Jesus is the one who says, as we read earlier, "Come to Me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All pleasure, joy, rest is found in our precious Savior, my friends. And we will be tired, bitter, and dissatisfied apart from Him. True rest is found when we trust that God in Christ is our pleasure and joy. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And so you see, in order to rest in Him, we must trust that He's our refuge, our counsel, and our pleasure. Christian, the triune God loves you. His fundamental disposition towards you is love and only love. He rejoices over his saints with singing, as it says in Zechariah. Or Psalm 18 says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. Christian, God's love is so full, you can be at rest and be at peace and have fullness of joy. And never forget this, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is, as we profess this morning, is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And Ephesians 2 tells us, you, Christian, are seated there with him in the heavenly places. And one day, you will be at his right hand bodily, as our Savior is now. So, Christian, rest in his love and know for certain that your heart is restless until it rests in God. Let's pray. O staff of my life and strength of my heart, the life of my joys and the joys of my life, I will sit and sing under your shadow and glory in your holy name, for you are good. All praise and honor be to you, because Jesus, risen and ascended, intercedes for us now and forevermore. May glory be yours in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's stand together for our closing hymn, number 455, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, especially if you're visiting. We look forward to greeting you in the narthex at the end of the service. But for now, receive the benediction of our Lord from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace now and forevermore. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.